ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Who was the greatest? Who was the best of all time? If two athletes from different eras could actually compete against one another, who would come out on top? In one corner, the reigning champion at Mason the Line Dixon. He'll be pitted against the former two-time heavyweight champion, Rocky Balboa. Computer says Rocky Balboa would be triumphant.
I think
there's still some stuff in the basement.
What basement?
In here. I think I want to, like, fight. You know, nothing big, small stuff, like, locally.
What are you trying to prove, Pop?
I thought you might want to get involved.
Don't you think you're too, you know, old?
I think your brain's losing altitude.
Ding, 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 everyone, and welcome back to Cinemarcade. That's right, it is round two of the Rocky franchise. I think all of us had to fight the urge to say round two begins just there. That's an improv joke. My name is Steve Guntley, and who are the contenders in the ring with me today?
Ding, ding, ding. J-Ban in the corner with white boxers with a red stripe.
Nice. Stylish. Stylish. Looking very good.
You know, I just realized that's why they're called boxers.
Oh, hey, because for boxing, look at that.
Connections, ding, ding.
You learn something new every day.
I didn't know that.
Hi, hello, my name is Justin, and I am in the orange corner, which was created probably for me.
The orange corner, you're talking like it's like it's particular. Hungry, hungry hippos or something, like we have different colored corners.
Well, yeah, there's like the red corner and the blue corner or whatever.
Well, I guess there are. Yeah. Never mind, I take it back.
Wait, did you not watch both movies?
I did watch both movies. I didn't pay super attention to the administrative elements that went into setting up the boxing ring, but hey, maybe I should have. So welcome back, everybody. We are in part two of our three-part miniseries on the Rocky films. Like we said last time, this like the three movies that we have in this series that have games based on them create a very different image of what this series is than if you were to watch it from start to finish. And that kind of creates an interesting little tension because the games are very much focused on legacy. It's very much about like commemorating the entire series and everything that's been done and all these great, amazing characters. But the three movies we're watching are very like modest, human-based, independent dramas that like really don't hint at the fact that this main character also has a training robot, you know, like, or at any point had a training robot. So we have arrived today at Rocky Balboa, which was released December 20th, 2006. It's directed and written by Sylvester Stallone, and it stars Sylvester Stallone, Burt Young, Antonio Tarver, Geraldine Hughes, Tony Burton, James Francis Kelly III, and Milo Ventimiglia. So yeah, after the overwhelming fan, critical, and financial success of the first Rocky film, it spawned a massive franchise that kind of lasted for nearly two decades. Well, technically it's still lasting today. You know, and building franchises around movies like this was not really done back then. Like we said, like sequels were increasingly looked at as like money losing efforts, you know, like you're eventually just going to like lose money on every one of these movies. But that was not true for Rocky. These movies kind of started plugging along, you know. After Rocky won, like Stallone was like this megastar all of a sudden, and he's trying to do more serious roles. So he's got two movies in between Rocky One and Rocky Two, which are both like understated period dramas. Like one is Paradise Alley, where he's a professional wrestler, and the other is Fist, which is like a union labor drama.
I actually watched that.
You've seen that movie?
No, I love union dramas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I swear, like, both, my father was in the union, and he was, like, a representative, and it's just, like, I feel like this is really, like, people don't do union dramas anymore because, you know, evil capitalists.
Yes.
I no one does a union drama anymore. It's too bad.
It's a shame. I think this one's supposed to be pretty good. I never saw it, but
that was my favorite part of The Irishman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the union bits.
Yeah. The Wire season 2.
Fun fact: if you negotiate together, you can get more. It's weird.
Turns out.
And if the company is willing to pay you to not negotiate together, it's because you would get more if you did.
Yeah, that's fair. So Stallone, I think he gets a lot of credit for sort of pioneering a new kind of breed of movie star for the 80s. And that came out because Rocky II, which came out in 1979, was a huge hit. I think... Or have either of you seen the whole series? Jamin, I think you've run the whole series before, right?
I think I have seen the whole series. I don't remember much from 5 other than the fact that he was getting brain damage.
Yeah.
And like Adrian wanted him to stop fighting.
Yes.
I remember, I get them mixed up because I'm just like, I know Apollo Creed gets murdered by Dolph Lundgren in 1. And I think that's 4. And I remember spoilers. the incredible, Eye of the Tiger song. They sort of like all meld together. I remember the incredible bromance that develops between Apollo and Rocky.
So, I mean, we get kind of an idea of what this series is sort of like,
Were all the films successful?
Yeah, pretty much. I think 5 was considered kind of the least successful, but it still did well. I mean, 2 was made for only $7 million. It made $200 million back in the 70s. That's insane.
Jesus.
1982 was a huge year for Stallone because that year he had Rocky III, which was the 4th highest grossing film of the year, and he had First Blood, which is introducing his new character, John Rambo.
Will we ever get to do Rocky?
We'll do Rambo. We will do Rambo, absolutely.
I can imagine that they were Rambo
fascinating games. Series.
Like a couple of years ago, I watched Rambo for the first time, and I'm just like, this is a good film.
First Blood, okay, we'll get to it eventually, but First Blood is a pretty low-key drama about a PTSD survivor being persecuted and kind of snapping.
And then by Rocky II, bad police.
By Rocky II, he's full-on a one-man
Rambo
army.
Two,
or right. Rambo 2. See, I always do that. Rambo 2, he's a full-on army. But yeah, so this is why Stallone is just kind of running the table in the 80s. Between Rambo and Rocky, he's just kind of the most recognizable, muscle-bound action hero in the world.
Unlike the 90s.
Unlike in the 90s, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean,
well, he still, it was very 90s. Successful in the 90s. Yeah.
He had a good run.
Demolition Man.
Judge Dredd, Cliffhanger.
When did Schwarzenegger start?
Conan the Barbarian
was his first film.
Conan Barbarian was his first lead. That was 81, 82.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it was almost a decade.
And then it was Terminator in 84 that kind of brought him up another
level. I knew Terminator
level.
Was 80s, but I didn't know what the time period was before that.
Yeah, before that, he was mostly known for this bodybuilding documentary called Pumping Iron, which is incredible. But he was a real kind of breakout there. But, so as these Rocky movies are getting bigger and more successful, they're also becoming a little bit more outlandish. I always talk about Hulk Hogan in Rocky III playing a character named Thunderlips. His other big opponent is Mr. T as Clubber Lang. Things start getting very, a little silly, not super over the top silly, but they get a little silly. They get a little melodramatic. He starts losing friends pretty much in every movie. Rocky III, Mickey dies when Clubber Lang pushes him down the stairs. Rocky IV, Apollo Creed
dick
dies
move.
When Ivan Drago punches him to death. And
also dick move.
It starts getting more and more outlandish, but it's every time this American hero story.
Well, who died in this movie?
In this one,
Adrian.
We lost Adrian. We lost Adrian in this one. And Rocky V, which was generally considered by most to be kind of the low point, was mostly it's just kind of a bummer because that's the movie where if you're wondering why he's back in his old neighborhood in Rocky Balboa, it's because in Rocky V he loses all of his money. He loses his house, his car, and everything, and he has to go back to Philadelphia and live in his old house. And he can't fight anymore because he has brain damage. which is not even addressed in this movie.
They kind of wrote that off. I learned that through Wikipedia, because once they're like, oh, Adrian's dead, I'm like, well, I'm going to pull up the Wikipedia article for Adrian.
Yeah.
And see what happened there. And then I was like, okay, so she was concerned about brain damage, and then they cleared him to box in this movie?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. They kind of glossed that over, and I think because 5 was the least popular one, that's where it stopped. That was 1991, so there were 15 years between Rocky 5 and Rocky 6. So it had gotten time for the public to not be as to avoid getting sick of it, you know? And
yeah.
It gotten to the point where it would be a welcome to see a comeback.
Well, and it's not even, let's face it, it's nostalgia. Like,
it's absolutely nostalgia baiting. Yeah, it definitely like
it's
is.
Definitely like the whole first half of this. Okay, first of all, I saw this movie in cinema with my mom at Christmas.
Nice.
I loved it.
This year?
No, when it came out, when you were an infant.
Yes,
I wasn't an infant. I was just a grade schooler.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, so I saw this in 2006 at Christmas time. It was such a like. We talk a lot about movies that are hits, but we don't necessarily talk about like the time of year that they go. And like, this is such a good Christmas movie. It's got that sweet melancholy, the family, like the family drama, but it's still big and bombastic. You can watch this with a 8-year-old. You could watch this with a 69-year-old.
Nice.
With a 420-year-old.
It's the numbers.
Boys are fun.
Yeah, I think...
Sorry, we cut you off in the worst possible way. You can finish your thought, please.
My point was that it was very heartwarming to watch this film with my mother in cinema, both having us grew up, like, you know, like, had... big fondness for renting Rocky from the library, and enjoying this heritage of this character. That being said, I was watching it as later on HBO without the, you know, the snow falling outside. It definitely has, there's a lot of nostalgia baiting.
There is.
And having just watched Rocky last week, there's like, it's serious nostalgia baiting.
Well, it's,
The training montage again, where he ends up running up the stairs and you're just
Yeah, but the training montage is very different. He's like, I didn't really notice this, but I was watching this Christian, of course, and he's all like, yeah, this one's like really big amongst weightlifters because Rocky focuses on weightlifting in this one.
Yes, 100%.
Because they say it to him in the movie. It's like, your knees are shot, you can't run, you've got like acid buildups and things like that in your joints.
Calcium
buildups. Like, you can't do any of the shit you can do, you know, but what
you're not fast enough.
Become a fucking unit and hurt people really.
Yeah.
Like, just punch really hard. You know, so I will say, I like this movie a lot. I've seen it a few times. There was a time when I had this at like my lowest ranked in the series. I changed that around now. I think this is a very good movie. The issue I have with this film is the same issue I have with The Force Awakens, which is in both cases, I think very good, entertaining movies in their own right, but they stick so doggedly to the formula set by the original movie that it feels a little cheaper, you know. I think this movie does have more to say. I think it does have a new perspectives, especially about aging and about like regret and like looking back on a life well lived.
And even,
but it is also hitting a lot of the same exact beats and a lot of the same tone that the original movie did.
Yeah, and I think as you were saying that the other ones were getting more and more kind of outlandish. It feels like, again, I only know what I saw on Wikipedia, but I feel like this one is a lot more grounded and
it is.
There's a lot more, like, there's a lot of, like, direct emotional stuff between him and his son and the conversation that they have, the conversation that he has with Pauly, where he's kind of coming to terms with the fact that he lost his wife that he just hasn't been really doing for a while.
Yeah. You know, it's... There's also the kind of meta narrative that is less satisfying in this time than it was the first time around, all right? Because the first time around, you got this bigger narrative about this nobody actor who punches his own ticket and becomes like the biggest star in the world. Now we have 30 years later, and the meta narrative is former biggest celebrity in the world wants to kind of reclaim some of his old glory. And that's a little, like, even if you're not even thinking about that actively, it's just not as fun of a narrative.
Well, I think there's like the thing that really stands out for me this movie is, and I'll talk about the things that I'll nitpick the things that I don't like about this movie later on, is that fucking monologue. Like, I love that monologue. I will sometimes listen to that monologue on YouTube.
Which one?
But it's not about how hard
His son.
You hit. It's how hard you can take a hit and keep going. It is like inspiration, like baiting.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that so much because that's like a metaphor for life. Like we it's just such a, like, yeah, life will beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And it's universal,
and it's also like it's a father and son moment too, of where clearly their relationship is strained and there's some issues there.
Yeah.
And it's the dad basically saying, like, look, I love you, and I'm not great at this, but like something changed and you lost the light that used to propel you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's also kind of talking to himself.
Yeah.
Because he did the same thing.
Absolutely. You know, so this is a really good showcase, I think, for Sylvester Stallone. And he's at an interesting place in his career because, you know, when he started off, like, he was being compared to Brando and Pacino and being called, like, one of the next great actors. And over the next 20 years, we kind of forgot about that side of him. To the point that when Copland came out in 1997, people were being like, oh shit, it's like Sylvester Stallone's like a good actor. I had no idea. Look at him in this movie. He's really good. But it's like, that's how he started. That's how he always was. He just became the quippy action guy for so long. So it's I always love seeing him slip back into this character. I think it feels very lived in. It feels very genuine. He's just so effortlessly kind of charming as Rocky. He's garrulous and he's like kind of has no real self-awareness.
Yeah, and like what, 35 years have passed?
30. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess that is how math works.
Usually. I got that wrong last week. I said 20, so.
He still feels like the same character. Like, the mannerisms still track. Yeah. He definitely seems like he's matured a little bit and been through some stuff. But at the same time, like, that same kind of, like, cheesy jokester.
Yeah.
And, like, his capability to just kind of keep saying words even when he doesn't need to.
Still got the suit, the same two turtles.
Are they the same turtles?
That's supposed to be the message. Oh, that's right. They
live really long. Oh, yeah. That's cute. Yeah.
But they're in a cooler tank now.
They're in a slightly better tank, you know? And he's, you know, like, he's not, like, a washout. He's got this Italian restaurant that does very well. He's like this beloved neighborhood fixture and people still remember and know who he is. But that's also what we're seeing the character and we're seeing the actor both kind of try to reconcile this obsolescence that's sort of coming for him, right? You know, like they're both kind of aware. I'm reaching the point where I'm not going to have a lot of other shots left. Yeah. Like, physically, I won't be able to do this thing that I'm known for anymore. Mm-hmm. And what do I want my legacy to be? Do I have one last push in me? And I think that's an interesting narrative to propel him and makes it a little more distinct from the original Rocky. But we do get a lot of the same beats, including, you know, like, we bring back the little girl from the original. She's now a middle-aged woman.
So that is the thing that I most criticize about this. Okay. So it's fun to have somebody for Rocky to tell stupid jokes to and be nice to.
Yeah.
However, and they try to make it clear that there's nothing going on, but then she kisses him. So I'm just like, I do not want you cutting to her face. She is not Adrian during the big fight. Fuck that. Yeah. Cut to your son's face. I would have much rather they lingered on the son's emotions at the father getting, like, and the reflection of Adrian in her son, in my personal opinion.
I am glad they never went fully romantic. I think they were kind of circling that a little bit, but it would have been the wrong beat for Rocky to be interested in someone else. Like, Rocky is a simple guy. He very much had a love of his life. He's still struggling with the loss of that love of his life, but like, that was it for him. Like, you really do get the sense that that was it, and like, and that he's comfortable with that.
He even tells her when they first kind of start hanging out, when she said, she had said something along the lines of like, hey, this is kind of weird. And it was more in the sense of like, why are you trying to help us? But he immediately goes, look, I still have my wife might be gone, but she's always here with me. So it's not like that. And then she's, and
yes,
then
and I'm on board. And goes. But towards the end,
yeah,
they're cutting to her.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about her?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I do not give a fuck about Little Marie's face during your boxing match. I don't care.
I wanted them to cut back to Spider Rico doing the dishes, but you know, that's yeah. just me. I wanted to see how Spider Rico
all this. Like did had that moment where he was praying over like praying over Rocky, and I'm just all like, it was, Spider Rico,
it's cute.
Really came a long way.
I'm glad that they brought him back. Like, it's the same actor and everything, and I like his characterization that this guy's like, he's pretty punchy at this point, yeah. You know, and he's just kind of grateful for any kind of opportunity. I really want to shout out the performance from Burt Young in this movie mm-hmm. as Pauly. I forgot just how effective and how good this turn is, because there's a great moment that I think really sticks with me. And like early on when the two of them are visiting Adrian's grave, and Polly's getting really irritable about it, like hearing all these stories. And he's like, it's like, why do you get so upset hearing that? And he says, like, because you were good to her. You have a million good memories and a million times where you made her happy. I was terrible to her, and I can never take that back.
Yeah, like, I really liked that. That was really powerful.
We could really see he's wrestling with that. He's also a guy we just saw him in the first movie, bound and determined not to die in this meat locker. You know, that he did not want this to be like the last career he ever had. And now he's like, yeah, that's kind of where he's at again.
And
he's
facing that down. Is it the last career he ever has?
You know, well,
I don't know what comes next. However, I do know that he got fired in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then
he's got like, what, 30, 40 years on a union job? So,
you know, and he probably
have a pension.
Yeah. And I love the casual reveal that he's just like a talented artist.
Yeah.
You know, like we just cut over to him in the meat locker and he's just painting a really nice portrait. Like,
but he's still kind of a shitty person.
He's
definitely a drunk, you know, he's definitely got his demons that
he's definitely got some racism in him.
Yes. You know, he hasn't changed that much in the 30 years, but I think it's just an excellent performance and the characterization is really beautiful.
Yeah. He definitely seems like a very consistent and real character that you would see, you know, as a frequent of a local place that usually is more of a dead-end place.
Well, and I thought it was interesting that they, like, it was very nostalgia-baiting, but they were doing the tour of Rocky I's locations.
Yeah.
As an homage to Adrian's memory.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was good. I do think sometimes they like lingered on like the ghostly apparition of her instead of just lingering on
the
like
moment.
Rocky's like sadness.
Yeah. I was the same way. I'm like they're going for a couple of like mid 2000s like stylistic tricks here to kind of make it feel a little fresh, but in fact, that's the thing that's dating this movie more than anything is like they do have those cutaways. They have those little flashes and flashbacks and some like interesting lighting choices and stuff like that. There's just a little bit more flair and flash to this one than there was the
especially
original.
Because like I think the only real difference between the two movies in terms of like what would place it in time is the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Like otherwise, it's still a fairly... Like, obviously, cars are slightly newer, but...
GoldenPalace.com.
Yes.
Cleavage stamps.
Yeah, wow. Honestly, that...
Yeah, those were pretty ridiculous. I do want to talk
about... And I guess
about...
there's also the parts with the... Oh, my God, how am I forgetting his name? The other boxer.
Oh, okay. That's who I wanted to bring up.
Mason the Line Dixon.
Oh, my God.
Mason the Line Dixon. So I want to talk about this character a little bit because I'm a little split on...
He had some cool cars.
Yeah, he had some cool cars. I'm a little split on this guy as a character. I think, okay, so he's played by Antonio Tarver, who is a real-life boxer. I think this is his one and only performance he ever gave. I think he's good.
Yeah.
I think the acting is good in this. I struggle with the character a little bit because he gets kind of shortchanged just by a necessity of the plot. You know, okay, so this character is such a dominant boxer that everyone they put up against him, he has about like a round. And so fans are furious that he's like not a real contender.
They should watch Formula One.
Yeah. You know, and so like, and so
I don't get the reference.
I assume
one person is the person who won the last three championships, won the last two championships, basically no contest.
Okay.
Their teammate was the closest contest, and it was literally a condition of like, look, the rumors were if he didn't come second in the championship, they were going to replace that guy.
Yeah.
Because he just could not compare to Max Verstappen in his absolute dominance.
Hey, are you a Verstappen simp? Am I no. using those, that language correctly?
I don't know if any of that language was
I'm
right.
I'm a McLaren boy with an I.
Boy.
Yeah.
I'm a boy, well, Lando.
But see, that's kind of my issue with this character is like he's written as being the most dominant boxer in the field, but also like he needs to be bad enough that Rocky at age 60 can compete with him. So he doesn't feel like a threat in the way that the other opponents have, you know, like I'm not even talking about Ivan Drago or anything like being cartoonishly threatening. It just feels like this isn't as strong or even.
Well, I think
a match.
It, honestly, I feel like it was like was putting it in a good direction because I feel like what are you gonna do at this stage? I think you've got to like I think it's giving this guy an undefeated record that he's never tasted fear,
right?
And to have him break his hand in like the first or second round to be like, like I feel like that little character arc like. Could have been a lot more like shown.
Like, showing that it was a bit more level due to exigent circumstances. Is that the right word? Exigent circumstances?
Extant.
Essential circumstances that are different.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely an unusual fight.
So, like, I can see, like, at the same time, it is very much it would have been funner, I think, if it was not the heavyweight champion of the world. You know what I mean?
Right. And they couch it, you know, it's an exhibition match. It's not like he's going for the belt or anything.
Yeah,
it's really
only
10 more
rounds.
Technically,
they did. I actually looked into this during when we were watching the stuff for Rocky. They did eventually shorten the traditional boxing match to 10.
Yeah.
Because people were dying in the 10 through 5, and they're like, well, or 10 through 15, and they're like, if we just cut those out, less people will die.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Interesting. Dropping the facts.
We have all of my boxing knowledge out.
I know you were an infinite, but you remind me of a 90s PBS special.
Dear God. Wow.
You know, I am kind of
like
sad
the nerdiest
that
reference you've ever made, and that's a competitive category.
Look, I'm kind of sad that PBS wasn't really a thing when I was a kid. Like, it was there, but I don't think everybody kind of was ignoring it at the time.
You grew up with money, Mr. Moneybags.
We didn't.
Some of us could afford HBO.
Was PBS on HBO?
No, PBS was free.
PBS is what us poor kids had to watch.
We had basic cable for quite a while. I think that was the main thing, was the move to cable instead of over the air.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, well, we have options now. Even if you have the free cable, you still have or the cheap cable, whatever the entry-level plan was. You still had a number of channels. But I was a Mythbusters kid.
Okay, fair enough.
Discovery Channel.
Do you hear that they're not friends?
Yeah, don't they do not
I've
like
known
each
that.
Other. They kind of openly despise each other.
I think it's not so much that, but more that they just aren't friends, and everybody's shocked by that, but they were just definitely coworkers.
Jamie Hyneman is kind of like a hermit. Like he and Adam Savage is very outgoing and like, you know, so they're just very different people.
Yeah.
I wonder who would beat them. Who
got great friend chemistry, even though they're not friends.
They had absolutely great chemistry on
the geek out about on the camera.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's fun. Like they're getting excited by the same things. So that helps.
It was great. I've actually been rewatching MythBusters lately, and it's been a good time.
I love it. But yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the father-son relationship here too. There's kind of a sad note to add to that. So in Rocky V, the son character was played by Sage Stallone, who is Sylvester Stallone's real son. Sage Stallone was kind of in and out of rehab a lot around this time, and unfortunately he died of a drug overdose
just a few
years after this. So he wasn't really in a place to be acting at this time. But they got Milo Ventimiglia, who does look weirdly similar to a young Stallone. Like he's more kind of slim and symmetrical, but like he does look a lot like Stallone.
Yeah.
Especially like if you see him
yelling
in movies.
He
does the lip curl. Like even like back on Gilmore Girls, like you could see it's like, oh yeah, this is just like twink Stallone.
He's been pretty popular, hasn't he? Like he was really big in Heroes in the around this time.
Yeah, this would have been around Heroes. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then This Is Us was like 15 years after that. Yeah. But that's kind of a.
Did you watch This Is Us?
I never did.
Did you?
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is.
I was like, I don't need an appointment to feel sad.
Yeah, I'm covering that on my own time. Yeah, it's a free floating appointment. It pops up whenever. You know, so I think he's good in this movie. I think his arc is kind of smaller, you know, but it's like he's kind of become like a corporate monkey and is a little resentful about the shadow that his dad casts. You know, he doesn't want to just be Rocky's son. He wants to be his own person, but the person he's trying to be isn't fitting.
I feel like the father-son thing is the thing that I most wanted more screen time.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was the more resonant emotional relationship. Like I like that Rocky did get kind of this new he's lonely and he's got this new kind of surrogate family. He's got this young kid who looks up to him, and he's got this woman who, like, it's not romantic necessarily, but they have like a familiarity.
They definitely try to push it that way in weird ways without it being that way. But
to be honest, I do think that Stallone comes from a generation of being like friendly to women as being flirtatious to women. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even like the pregnant like hostess, he's like, "Hey, rub some olive oil on her. You're gonna get a strong kid." I'm kind of like, Rock.
I mean, that felt friendly to me. I don't know. It didn't feel lascivious in any way to me.
It felt dated. It definitely felt dated. Like, the way
it's like an older, old Italian, like, old wives' tale. Yeah.
Well, it felt dated in the sense that, like, in this time period, is Rocky hard? Like, they're trying to portray Rocky as a harmless older. Broccoli. It's Broccoli and Rocky.
Who would win?
Broccoli.
Yes, I think so.
The whole...
Depends on if it's the character from Naruto.
We can backtrack.
Pre-Broccoli. We can do this. Oh my God.
I know I'm capable of it.
Okay. Right. They were trying to portray Rocky as a harmless old man, while at the same time trying to portray him as this potent, violent man.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like they had this woman be interested in being friends with him, but also she's like, oh, also, Rocky, you're so irresistible. You know, like, it's so stupid.
Look, he's looking good for 60. You gotta give it to him.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you see when he takes his shirt off? He's like, you're just like, dude, it's okay. It's okay.
You can calm down. Like, yeah. No,
Save some for the rest of us.
He looks ridiculous, but, you know, like, he... Yeah, I don't know. I think he does have that kind of like old school sort of like attitude about him. You know, that's I don't read it necessarily as like patronizing. I think he's just kind of an unctuous dude, you know, who just doesn't really think much about what he says or like, you know, he's not like super self-aware, but he's also pleasant and optimistic and like.
Well, and
you know,
I think that's the thing.
But
is
he talks
that
about the
beast, even,
right? Yeah.
But even Rocky in the 70s, his being nice to people was also considered like, you know, creepo, super creepo.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so like sometimes just being nice is considered to be like, you know, if you're a dude, you gotta like a big hulking dude, you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Because you can be very intimidating.
Absolutely.
But it's just like, I don't know, I really like So I both like the friendship between little Marianne and Rocky, and I dislike it. So yeah. I go back and forth. I think it's interesting that they have this surrogate son in the way of Steps.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, I just would have liked to have had those scenes with his actual son.
Once they start talking about the fight, everything else fades to the background except for Rocky and Marie.
Yeah.
And that was like, even his son quits his job and comes and supports him.
Yeah.
And they really don't talk about that once it happens. He's there and he's interjecting when they're in the corner during the fight. Yeah. But otherwise, he's just set dressing. Like, he's never, they never have a moment. They never talk. Same thing with Steps. They just move away from all of that. And I think that's where this could have been even more like heartwarming and touching.
The movie's nostalgia baiting, but like Rocky as a character is also kind of trapped in this nostalgic phase. So like he sees Steps as like a chance to kind of rebuild the relationship with his own son at a younger age, before things kind of
and
got
I also
a little distant
feel like
with them.
That is who Rocky is. Rocky is a friendly guy. He's always been trying to promote people because no one promoted him. Yeah. Mickey let him down, so he's trying to promote other people and give them chances and give them jobs because, like, you know, because he got one shot and that's
it was what he needed.
What he needed to get out of a bad situation of working for the mob. I really like this movie. I do
too.
Like, and it's just, I don't know why, like, it feels like I feel disappointed that I like it, but I really do like it.
I've had this conversation at past jobs, but it's the thought of like, you enjoy the thing, you like the thing, but you also just see some quick like ways that it could be better or more of what you wanted. And I think that this movie has some of that of like, again, you mentioned one of the best in like one of the best parts of the movie is when he's talking, when Rocky is talking to his son.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like the last real conversation they have. Everything past that point is
Rocky paint by numbers. You got the montage.
Got
the cut.
Yes.
Those are the things that you expect. That's the set dressing. And I think I agree with you, J-Man. Like, it weirdly does feel disappointing to say I like this, but like, I don't know. That feels unnecessarily mean, I guess, now that I think about it. Because I'm just like, I'm going back again to the Force Awakens thing. Like, I think Force Awakens, absolutely, very similar to the original Star Wars, but it also has a lot of things to recommend on its own, like on its own merits that do not exist in that original universe. And the characters are strong, and like the music and the effects and everything is very strong. And I feel that way about this one. I think, yes, the similarities are undeniable and sometimes feels a little cheap, like with the flashbacks or with the ghosts and everything. But we're also wrestling with a lot of things that are very interesting and unique here. We're wrestling with obsolescence, with death, with loss, with grief, like with finding your way in the world and with regret. Like there's a lot that this movie has on its mind that the original movie couldn't really tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's valid. I think it's a valuable movie, and I think it's really good and it's really worthwhile.
It's really good and I think it's worthwhile, but I also do feel like there's a lot of nostalgia, like
which is inescapable, and it's a movie, like the next movie we're going to talk about is the one that kind of managed to sidestep that trap a little bit by like alluding to the original but not getting so stuck in its own lore, and we'll talk about that when we get to Creed. But I don't know, this is the third time watching it and I like it a little more every time I see it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good movie, and
I think
there's a lot here to
like.
Well,
and I think that one of the things that it benefits from is an accurate depiction of grief, because grief isn't over in a day. He's been alone for probably a couple of years, and he still, like, lingers on it, and he's living alone, and he's sort of like stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
Which I think is, and like even in like this, I really like the pictures like of him preparing for the day, showing off Philadelphia when he's going to the farmer's market and being friendly and being Rocky.
Yeah.
And also being at the Adrian's restaurant and telling stories of his fight.
Yeah.
I really feel like he's found a place to be in stasis, but that stasis is still so driven by grief that he hasn't been able to step into life, which is one of the reasons why I love Creed, is because you do find Rocky getting sort of like an after, like a next life sort of.
We find him more settled. Like, and this is, that's the other cool thing about this movie. It's just that he keeps talking about how he's got the beast inside him, and it's just this one last thing that won't let him rest. Like, it's going to bug him, but he feels like it's his last chance to kind of prove this one last thing, to get out some of this energy and to really accept the life that he's built and be happy with it.
Yeah.
And I think he gets to do that, and it's really nice.
I'm both glad, but I also would have liked to have seen him go a little crazy during the fight, being all like, Adrian, and just like, I know that would have been really cheesy, but like...
And it's not his thing, you know? Yeah. He's not the berserker. He doesn't fight necessarily because he's full of rage. He fights because he's got something to prove.
But that is something that he's talking about, the rage that comes with grief, and he's also talking about proving himself.
Yeah.
But he also has nothing against this opponent that he's facing either. Like, this is just a guy to him.
And that's honestly one of the things that I liked about this was when the fight's over, they clinch again, getting up together.
Yeah.
And
they're friendly.
And it's literally Rocky saying, like, hey, man, good fight, giving him a pat on the back and stuff.
Yeah.
And at one point during the fight, Mason Dixon even says something along the lines of like, you're a crazy old man, basically. And Rocky is like, oh, you'll get there soon.
Yeah.
You'll get there someday.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice moment, I think. And it's something like, you know, we did see over the series that he and Apollo became like best friends, and you know, it's kind of a nice little element of boxing movies and boxing in general. Just like, let's beat the shit out of each other and then let's go get a beer, you know?
Yeah.
There's something kind of endearing about that.
Yeah.
But, well, that's Rocky Balboa. Let's talk a little bit about the video game, because we are delving back into PSP exclusive territory, which has only ever worked out for us, right? Like Napoleon Dynamite, and like, what was there? There was another one, I think, but yeah.
I think Napoleon, look, I can say based on the stuff in your folder, there was only two games there.
Yeah. Oh, there may be
it was Napoleon and Rocky
separately.
But
Rocky Balboa the game was released March 20th, 2007. It's developed by Ubisoft Montreal and published by Ubisoft. It is a PSP exclusive. So what we're seeing in this game is very, very similar to the games that we played last week on the Xbox. And like I said, like, while these movies are sharing the titles with the movies that we discussed, they're really more about the series as a whole, you know? And so this could almost be viewed as sort of an expansion pack of the Xbox game, like including Rocky Balboa content. That's almost like the level of it that it is.
Yeah. Obviously the gameplay's changed up a little bit, but it's still a boxing game.
Somehow manages to be less thrilling than the previous game.
I liked the previous game. I enjoyed it, but I think a lot of it was that those rounds were a lot faster and a lot punchier, you know?
Like,
we started this game playing against Spider Rico, you know? So the story mode of this game is clever because it takes you from Rocky's first fight in the Rocky series to Rocky's last fight in the Rocky series. So you're going Spider Rico to Mason the Lion Dixon. That's the arc, and then everything in between. But Spider Rico is the character that he fought when he was at his lowest ebb, all right? It's a guy who is a untalented, over-the-hill fighter who is kind of on his last legs. And the fact that Rocky's taking him on is supposed to kind of shame him a little bit. That fight that we had in this game with Spider Rico went like 7 rounds and was lasting forever.
It went 7 rounds, and every round was exactly 3 minutes.
Really long and really slow. And when the game is not that much different from the one that we played on the Xbox, like, it starts to wear on your bullet. Now, the Xbox ones, I think those rounds were like 90 seconds. You know, that's a pretty manageable time.
Yeah.
The controls were responsive and tight in that one. In this one, you know, it's a PSP, so the controls are always going to be a little squishier and a little slower. And I was not entirely clear on what to do.
I think the main thing was they just slowed it down. And so maybe it's a more accurate representation of the pacing of a real boxing match.
Yeah.
But it was – it's like if you took the same level – the same total amount of excitement that we had from the first game – and then just stretched it out. Like, maybe the match had the same amount of fun in it, but the match also took 10 more minutes.
Right. And it was just dragging it out so long. There were some
and so the like, fun per second was lower.
There was a lot less blocking, and, like, there's a... I think it was harder
to get... We definitely didn't know how to block.
Well, yeah. There's a lot... It was harder to get a rhythm in this one. Because, boxing and rhythms are so important. And I feel like last week's game, I was able to get a rhythm pretty steadily going. But this one, it was really hard to get, like, a rhythm going.
Yeah.
Also, it was just... It took forever to beat someone. Their bars of life kept really... like revitalizing so at the drop of a hat.
Like, this was a really difficult like prospect because if you did manage to wear them down enough that they fell down, they usually get up within 3 seconds and their life bar refills like 2/3 of the way. You know, it barely ebbs down each time you do it. There are some fun things here, like when you get a certain number of combos in a row, like with that weren't blocked, then you go into like a slow-mo super powered mode. And this one felt very satisfying because you can get in there and do some real damage. They've got that classic, like, hard sound. I'm not even doing it. The way that they would do that sound effect in old movies was taking a frozen turkey and hitting it with a baseball bat. So just imagine that sound is happening right now, and that's what they were giving you. You know, and you start to feel like you have some real juice in those moments. But they can be interrupted, and they don't last very long. You know, there's a combo system going on here, like it involves like multiple button presses and directional things, but it never felt super responsive.
I'm sure if somebody sat down and actually like learned everything out.
Yeah.
But the problem is that would have taken like 40 minutes.
Also, what they were missing was a good audio track. They had a lot of crowd sounds, but not like some stirring music. This is Rocky.
Yeah.
Let's play some stirring music.
There wasn't such music during the fights, right?
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what we need.
And so,
a little flair.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that was definitely lacking. We tried out some of the other modes. So there's like the history mode, which is kind of the story mode. There's an exhibition where you just fight against each other.
We did fight like Apollo Creed in that. We beat a couple levels. And I really liked the characterization of Apollo Creed because he does this like little like shuffle step with his arms down. And that he does that in the movie. And I thought that was a fantastic touch.
I thought the animation in this was pretty great.
Yeah, the animation was fantastic.
And we were also saying, visuals as a whole.
Yeah, this looks really nice. The characters are big and detailed, and like there's a sheen of sweat on them all the time that like looks pretty accurate.
Yeah,
they get bloodier and more puffed. Their faces get more bruised as the thing goes on.
And obviously,
I was feeling bad for Spider because we were really working those ribs. Yeah. They were getting purple.
Obviously, it's a game on the PSP, but for that and for the time it released, it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Like I could have seen this being on the Xbox 360 when at the time, and it's looking good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been bad at all.
This was a time like they were porting some of the more popular PSP games over to PlayStation 2. So like this could have been a contender for that and would have looked fine. Like, no, I thought it looked good. You know, the exhibition mode is just kind of a one-on-one. And then there was like a fast lane mode, which is sort of challenges, like time-based challenges. And some of them, I don't know if we can wrap our heads around him yet. Like, you have to knock out a guy in less than a minute.
Yeah.
Like, our rounds were taking, close to 45 minutes.
The first,
so it's like
we knocked out one person.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know if they mean just downing them, but we knocked, I say we, you two knocked one person down, and it took 18 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Like,
something like that. It was ridiculous.
Definitely need a lot of training to do that in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, these were not like terribly appealing, but it is nice that you're getting a lot of different matchups. You're getting a lot of characters from throughout the series, even a couple of weird deep cuts that like you wouldn't really remember unless you're a super fan. You know, but you get to play through the game as Apollo or Ivan Drago or like all these different fun characters. And
yeah.
You get to see them in matchups that like wouldn't have happened because the characters were dead or in different movies or whatever.
They do one thing that is interesting, which is that the historic mode, when you look at it, it's like you have two rows of like 12 matches.
Yeah.
And they both grayed out, look identical. And it's because they are. It's showing the venues. Once you complete the game as Rocky, you then go through it again as the opponents of Rocky.
Yeah.
So you end up fighting Rocky then.
Yeah.
And they also have a different Rocky for each movie.
Yeah, yeah. They age him up and age him down, you know. So like, and that's a fun idea, and it's kind of an extension on what they're doing in Rocky Legends, where you get to play through the career mode as the villains, you know. It's
different,
a fun idea.
Different ages of Rocky, different heights or different weights of Rocky.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure quite how well that plays out in terms of the different stats.
Yeah.
But just from looking through the character screen, we saw there was, I think it's like 27, 26 characters or something like that.
Yeah, pretty decent roster. I mean, I think there's stuff to recommend here. I just wish this game's pacing was better. I wish the controls felt a little tighter and more responsive. You know, like the beauty, I'm going to keep going back to it, but the beauty of a game like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is that they reduced the fundamentals of boxing to a rhythm-based puzzle game that, And that's kind of how video, I think that's how boxing video games should be approached. You can inject more realism into it, and you can inject a little bit more of the real sport. But at the end of the day, it should fall down to like this timing-based puzzle. Like, when can you hit them that'll make them the weakest? Like, what's the spot? What's the tell that's going to give away how to defeat this opponent? And then kind of play on that.
Have good music.
And have good music. Yes. We gotta fly now.
We need to. That was also making it.
I don't want to get us flagged, so I won't say it.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's the orb of the lion. It's the thing on his head.
Did you watch the Eurovision Song Contest movie?
Yeah, many times. I love it. Yeah, I love that movie.
I love that song. Like, it's the look of the lion.
The look of the lion.
Dan
Stevens.
Dan Stevens, yeah, yeah. Who is one of the dreamiest. Like, he's in this show that is so underrated. If you haven't seen Legion, stop with listening to us and watch it right now. Just Legion is amazing. It's a really interesting look at mental illness. It's so like it's a mutant drama from the X-Men universe that you're just like, ugh, it's so fucking good.
Have you watched The Guest with him in it?
No, I've heard good things about it.
Oh, you would be into The Guest. Okay. It's for solely the shots of his abs. You know? This was straight off of Downton Abbey, where he was still kind of a little like pleasantly plump in the middle, and then he shows up in The Guest, and he's just like cut like a monster. It's just like, oh, hi, okay.
I don't know, like, okay, I, like any human being, enjoy abs. I don't feel like everyone needs abs. Like, recently, watching Roadhouse, like, oh, yeah. Oh my god, like Jake Gyllenhaal, eat a cookie. You don't need 18 abs.
You don't need,
hey Jake, if you want to eat a cookie with me, I got you, my dude.
If you look at Dolph Lundgren, like, very fit, doesn't have like 18 abs. He's still very fit.
Yeah.
Like, I just like,
Stallone in these middle Rocky movies got ridiculous. We were talking
ridiculously
about that. He got so jacked.
And I'm just like,
and it was because he and Schwarzenegger had this huge rivalry, right? Like, they talk about it in the Schwarzenegger documentary. It's just like, he started working out more, so I started working out more. His movies have more kills, so my movies started having more kills. Like, they were always gunning for each other, literally like that. So, yeah, but yeah, cut down on the abs, people.
Well, let's, no, I'm not saying,
or at least spread them around.
I'm
give
just
me one.
Saying,
I've never had one.
It
it'd be nice, just one. Give me one, like, lump in the middle that's not a tumor, you know? Just like, yeah, it's not a tumor.
I had faint abs in high school, and that's the closest I got.
Oh, see, I've never even had faint
abs. I was training for a mountain hike, though.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, go figure.
Did you use that as an excuse to take your shirt off at any occasion?
No, I have historically not enjoyed taking my shirt off in front of people.
Even when you had abs?
Definitely didn't, no.
Mm.
The only time anybody actually noticed it, other than my girlfriend at the time, was when we went to state for the chess team. There was a swimming pool at the hotel, and so I brought my swim trunks. And then one of the other people was like, "Jesus, I didn't realize you were in shape." And I'm like, "I'm gonna do like a 100-mile hike after this." So,
but that's the reaction you should get from a romantic lead. Dear God, I didn't know you were in shape. Like, that is like...
Oh, it's like all of us, anytime we take our glasses off, people are like, whoa.
Rrr.
People can't see what I did there, but it was a whole thing. Anyway.
But just like Clark Kent.
We are we're spiraling madly into a tangent, which I think means brings us to the end of Rocky Balboa. Let's get to our final thoughts.
Oh, a tangent. Which Rocky do you think is the hottest Rocky?
Interesting. I mean,
I've only seen two.
Yeah. Maybe
you've seen the video game, and they showed shots from him in like every different movie.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
But they were like with a vignette, and I wasn't paying that much attention.
It's probably Rocky IV. I think he's too big in Rocky III. He's a little more like lean and mean. Like late 80s Stallone looked better, I think.
Okay. I'm not the biggest fan of buff old man, so I'll say one.
Well, he was a young man at one stage.
What's going to say? I have two Rockies to pick between.
Oh, okay, there's that's right. You haven't seen the
buff
other.
Old Rocky.
Yeah.
And there's buff not old Rocky.
Okay.
I don't think so. Rocky's from buff in number one.
He's buff, not old Rocky. He's not cut, but he's buff.
He's buff. And not old.
Yeah.
And so that's my choice.
Ageist.
Just like,
ageist.
Once you hit a certain age.
You'll get
age,
to our age someday,
I know.
You whippersnapper.
Once you get to a certain age and you are that big, just like the veins and everything, I don't know. I have a certain feeling about it, and it's not great.
Well, I'm going to be that jacked in 20 years, so.
I can't wait.
You put me on the clock right now. Well, let's move on to our rankings. Is this a good movie, good game, bad movie, bad game, or somewhere in between, some little mix them up of all of those elements. Justin, why don't you start us off today?
I'll say good movie, okay game. I feel like all it needed was some music and some instructions, which we probably had. There were some that we didn't really look at, but the music was the killer. It just made what was already slow feel even slower.
Fair. J-Bam, where do you come down?
Good movie.
Mm-hmm.
In my heart of hearts, very good movie.
Go follow your truth. You
I'm
know,
following my
your,
truth.
Embrace your passion.
Sometimes you just gotta let go.
Thereof.
You gotta let go. The sometimes you just like what you like.
I do know at least like I don't know them, but I've listened to podcasts and I've heard at least one podcast host say this is the best one in the series. So
I think it's got the best monologues of the series.
It's a good one.
Like the best that monologue. Like again, I don't often listen to monologues on YouTube, but like I have listened to this monologue multiple times on YouTube.
It's good.
It's so good. It's so emotional. And then I think for the game, I think okay. I think if you had paid for it, you'd be very pleased because it takes forever to fucking defeat someone. It's a lot of value for your money if you only owned like two or three games.
I was literally thinking about that during it. I'm like, man, they're really padding the playtime here.
Sorry, Justin just took his glasses off. I never noticed that sparkle before.
For those who listen, I take my glasses off a lot when I'm recording because
it's distracting.
When I'm sitting still for a long period of time, I do that, but
it's okay. It's okay. Sorry, I cut you off. He was too distracting. I think I'm there with you. I think this is a good movie. I think I like this movie a little bit more every time I watch it. And I think this is a good game too. I think in both cases, interestingly, both movie and game probably would have benefited with a little bit more of a gap between Rocky One and these first games, because there is very much a case of similarity. There's very much a sameness to both Rocky and Rocky Balboa and to these games that we've played. But that's not even necessarily a bad thing. I don't think there's a bad film in the Rocky franchise, and I think this one is very worthy. And it's nice to check back in with the character and give him one last moment of real personal glory before handing off the reins. Which is a topic we're going to cover next week as we conclude our Rocky
series.
Can I
throw one thing in real quick?
Yeah.
I do think that the game would have been more enjoyable to us if we hadn't just came off of what I'll consider to be a better version of this game
last week.
We probably would have been less negative on it, but probably
it
not
is very pretty. It's
much
pretty
more
game.
Positive.
It looks good. Yeah.
But yeah.
No, I get, yeah, for sure.
Sorry to interrupt your segue.
Not at all, not at all. It was just a perfect segue, but whatever. No, but next week we're wrapping up the Rocky series. We're going to be playing, we're going to be watching Creed from 2015, one of my favorite movies of this last two decades. It's way up there for me. I love, love, love this movie. And it's going to be exciting because we are going to be playing our very first VR game for this show.
Oh, right.
That's right. We are playing Creed VR Boxing, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch y'all flailing around.
Do you have the output so we can watch on TV?
I can cast it to the TV. Yeah, it'll be a little delayed, but I can cast it to the TV. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time.
I hope I don't break anything in your
house. Are going to have such good form.
We're going to have people surrounding you. We're going to get, and we've got a nice wide space here for you to play in. It should be fine. We'll give you a nice big square, but we'll see how it goes. It might be a disaster. Either way, I'm looking forward to it. Find us at cinemarcadepodcast@gmail.com or cinemarcadepodcast on Instagram or pretty much any social media place you find. Hop on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and a short review. That'll help us get seen. It'll help get the word out there a little bit, and it'll just make us feel good. And so tune in next week for Creed.
Do you know what this means?
What is that?
I think the three of us are all going to have to take our glasses off next week.
Oh, we are. We are. I hope the listeners are prepared for how hot we're going to sound. All right.
We might put them back on before we record. But
I have a little adapter for glasses, but we'll see if it fits on you guys' heads. We'll see.
You calling my head big?
I'm not calling any of our heads small.
You have a petite head.
You have a petite. You have abs on your head. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you're calling my wrinkle line?
Yes, exactly. That's what you're calling it from now on. You have face abs. Yeah. All right, y'all. Well, we will see you next week for Creed. Good night.